Guess who's back? Back again.
Shady's back.
PJ's back.
Dude.
PJ's back.
In the house.
You can't say PJ.
I can.
I left for 3 months and you still are holding on to PJ.
No, the people are. It's not me. I'm giving the people what they want. I'm giving them what they want. They've been asking. They're like, hey, when is PJ back?
I'm sure they have.
Well, I want to welcome everyone to the Unedited Podcast, a podcast featuring real conversations about real life, where we dig deeper into the weekend message, as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. I'm Todd, aka the Bald Eagle, and some of you maybe are new listeners and don't know.
You really embrace
this man.
Hang on. You really embrace Bald Eagle.
Dude, I got the name tag.
I know
you haven't seen it yet. Oh, shoot. I know I should have worn it.
No, I saw it, the Target one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I watched every episode, just so you know.
Did you?
Yeah, it's my church.
Good. I'm glad you watched
it. I want to dig deeper into the weekend and have real conversations about faith and life.
So good. So good. I have a name tag that says it, so I'm officially the Bald Eagle.
I don't know.
Just like you're officially PJ, because God gave you that name. But we are back with
we're in trouble
Pastor John today. So glad you're back. How does it feel to be in
I don't
the
think
pod
I
can call studio
pastor
again?
This much in my entire life as I do when I sit with you on the pod.
Well, I just got back from the DR and I was in the Dominican. I got back 7 o'clock last night. I was in the Dominican for 10 days. The respect that they show to pastors
is crazy
wild,
huh?
I told all of our students, I was like, I just want you to respect me like they respect me in the DR. So I was called pastor like 1,000 times and it was just, pastor, what do you need? Pastor, I'm like, what is this, all this? And then my wife, Rachel, who went on the trip as well, she was pastora.
Oh.
And so, and she was like,
she came home, she's like, you didn't call me that when we got home.
No, she was like, who are you talking to? Pastora? Like, that's not,
somebody got some chicken?
Yeah, it was definitely a different experience. So I'm in the calling. I mean, you're a pastor. I got to show you the respect, Pastor John. There you go.
All right,
there you go.
Okay, Bald Eagle,
dude. How the heck was sabbatical?
It's so good. It's so good. It's one of those things I've been telling people. It's so hard to sum up. Like people see you at church on how sabbatical, or even worse, they see you at a grocery store and they're like, "How's sabbatical going?" And you're like, "My soul is like." Ripped open at this point. I don't even know how to answer
that's
that. Like
deep heart work
it's
right now.
Great. I don't know. Just avoid my tears. I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. It's beautiful and painful. Mm-hmm. So it's like the highs, the lows. It's the scary of you now have time to look in the mirror of your soul.
Right.
And so it's also equally as it is scary, it's comforting to know that God walks with you. I mean, it's just everything in between. It was amazing getting to travel. Traveling brings life for me. And so getting to go see my kiddos, getting to go up to Montana. I think I was in California twice, Montana once. My wife and I got to celebrate our 30th coming up in December.
Awesome.
And so we took a cruise to celebrate that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
That's super cool. Well, I'm so glad that you got that time. As you were away, what was the biggest highlight for you? I mean, you just said you listed a few things that were pretty awesome, but
biggest highlight of sabbatical or just time or life?
Yeah, both, man. I mean, it's such a big question, any of those things. Open-ended.
A huge highlight for me was, and this is gonna sound weird, was Cindy being sad that I was going back.
Hmm.
Because the time had been so good.
That's awesome.
And so that for me, like that was a prayer going into it, right? That I would be present. And so some of that comes obviously with a trip that was amazing. I mean, such a gift to be able to go on a trip like that. I think one of the highlights, I've never been to Montana, but looking at the mountains is just breathtaking, right? Like it's just stunning. And so those kind of moments are super up there. Being with people. And not being rushed, not having somewhere to be or go or something to accomplish was great.
That's good.
Watching, sorry, I should have started out with watching the pod was.
Oh, yeah. Well, duh. I think we just know it. We just assume like, yeah, that's probably the best part for you. But, you know.
Beyond that.
You kind of already mentioned this too. What toughest part, man. I know that there was, anytime you look into the mirror, it's scary what you see. Yep. And so what was the toughest part for you on the sabbatical?
I think it was not running away from doing the hard work. And so like asking God to reveal, but then when he does, to actually go, okay, I'm going to intentionally put work into this.
Mm. It's easy to go, I don't like the answer, so I'm not going to do anything about it.
Like to see him go, like show what's inside to the point where it scared me.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, like that my heart could be so, or my soul could be so lost and not know it. Like that's terrifying. Right. Like and so then to sit in that and go, I don't want to rush beyond this. I don't want to ignore it, but I also like want to do the work.
Right.
And so putting in the work was probably the toughest. And just being open to God leading and not trying to control it.
Yeah.
And so I would say some of the coolest stuff out of it is like the life changes that are coming for me that I didn't know I needed going in, but have come out. And it's kind of like anything, right? Like you can learn the lesson. It's only an application that you're going to actually prove that you got the lesson, you know, like that's where the benefit comes. And so I'm in the process now of that application piece. And that's super sweet to see people responding, going, this is so good.
Yeah.
This is like been needed type thing.
That's awesome. Well, I'm one of those people. I'm super excited to see what God does and what he continues to do just with what he taught you over the last couple months and what it looks like moving forward. So
yeah, I might not be doing anything. So you'll be doing it all.
Perfect. Yeah, I know. Well, going over this outline, you made it very clear. You're like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. That's awesome. So, but all the viewers and listeners would love to just thank you guys for continuing to support the show, be there for us, listen, view, share, watch, rate, review, all the things. I don't have anything else.
I know that, you're still asking for 5 stars only, so.
I am, and we do have a couple that have come in via email that's letting us know, but not on the podcast, the Apple Podcast store, so. Maybe it's you because we haven't really had any since you left. I'm just saying, maybe it's you.
5 stars?
Well, just any reviews at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because people don't know how to access Apple Podcasts?
You know, I'm not sure. Mm. I'm not diagnosing the why. I'm just telling you the facts. Nobody's
maybe
rating
the beard
reviewing.
Could figure that out for us.
Maybe you can, or maybe you as a viewer listener just need to do it. Go in, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. We'd love to hear that. We also love
you can ask chat. Chat knows how to do everything. So
yeah, just ask. You can get help. We'd love for you to ask your questions as well. You can submit those unedited@heightschurch.com, and we do have a stockpile of those questions. So if you have written in a question, just know we are going to get to an answer to that question. But if you have another question or anything else burning, please go ahead, submit that. We'd love to answer that. The first question that we have in comes from Charlotte, and she wrote it in on Sunday after church. And it says this, does John have any tattoos?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just right out the gate.
Right out the gate.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Is this pre-sabbatical or post-sabbatical question?
I think that might be the question that we need to dig deeper in because
I do have a tattoo.
You do?
I do.
Did you have one when you left us?
I did not.
Okay.
So it's my first one.
Give us some background. Let us know what's going on.
So I've... You want the long version or short?
All short.
How are you feeling?
I have a meeting after this, so...
At least you're honest. Okay, the short version is this, that in my head, I know I am loved by God. But for whatever reason, like if you were to sit in counseling sessions I've been in, I would say probably 80% of my counseling sessions end up with Elizabeth reminding me of how much God loves me. Mm-hmm. And me just being like, I don't even know how to receive it, right? Like, so I know in my head, I'll tell people all day, like, you are loved by God. I can show you. I can hopefully help you feel that you are loved by God, like all of that. But to get it to my soul, to my heart, I just struggle. And so I got loved, put on my neck here, because every day when I look in the mirror, it's a reminder, like I get from my head to my heart. Mm. And so that's where it comes from.
And then moving down from your head to your heart.
Moving down from my head to my heart. And then the other piece to it is, it's the connection of when I'm reminded, when I'm living from a place of being loved, I'm reminded there's nothing to prove and nobody to impress.
That's awesome.
And so that's big for me.
That's huge. That's amazing
for me.
Nobody ever asked me if I have any tattoos. They just
well, Well, they see your arms waving around. That's what it is.
No, that's awesome.
So there is an allusion to it though. One, okay. I've always liked that placement, but my hope would be it wouldn't be a distraction from the stage. So from the stage, from looking onto the stage, hopefully it looks just like a line.
Okay.
And you can't read it, so you get into proximity.
Gotcha. That's good. Well, I'm guessing that Charlotte maybe saw something on
Sunday, a line and was like,
"What is that?
Has he got scars or something?"
Yeah, that's good. Well, incredible to have you back on the stage this weekend to be able to hear from you. And dude, getting your mind back in the rhythm of teaching like that on the weekend,
so hard.
How was it?
So hard. Like even just the physical side of getting an outline into your brain,
right,
and getting your brain to remember it while like people being genuinely excited and you engaging with them and trying to be fully present, and then 2 minutes later you're standing backstage going, what was I starting with?
Yeah,
how does this go? Where do I go? so it was a whole thing. And then Sunday night, I think I texted you Sunday night, I looked at Cindy and I was like, I don't like the way I feel. Like I forgot how this feels.
It is so, not an easy thing.
It's a gauntlet.
But you got to hop into the collection that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. And you got to hop into the collection that you planned before you left, but now you're hopping into it. So now we get to ask you the question of, we are walking through the book of Galatians. Yep. Why did you choose for us to walk through the book of Galatians?
Because I knew it would be hard to teach.
It is a very difficult one to teach. And I appreciate you dropping that bomb on me.
And especially the first 3-4 chapters are hard, you know? So I didn't come back till when they're almost out.
Yeah. And I've been wanting, like, I mean, obviously I've been having to study and preach it. And I'm like, why did John do this? So now I get to ask you live.
It's so hard. The reason for it is over the years, we've kind of picked books intentionally from the New Testament, but also books that would fit a summer collection, mm-hmm. where you're not leaving huge chunks of them out. Right.
Right.
And then for whatever reason, and like in the weeks to come, we'll kind of unpack this more, but I just felt this compelling to it. It talks about the Holy Spirit so much that I just felt like, for whatever reason, pre-sabbatical, drawn to the conversation about the Holy Spirit. And then once you know it, that God had me read a book on the Holy Spirit while I was gone. Mm-hmm. And so I just think he's connecting dots way out in advance for us. But yeah, the first chapters are just, it's a lot of context and a lot of work. So,
yeah. Well, you're welcome. And
yeah, thanks for carrying it.
Man, but this weekend, diving into this idea of who is writing your story and like, yep. Man, if you're living this out, like what is that driving factor and what is it that does that? And I think that's an insanely good question for us all to ask. But what if somebody this weekend heard the message and they realized that it's not the right thing that's driving them or that's writing their story? Like, what do they do when they've come to that realization of like, man, I'm not in a good place with this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably one that you're better to answer because you're way more practical than I am as a communicator. I can talk about the big lofty all day and then it's like, I don't know what to do with it. It's just there.
Yeah.
No, I think what comes to mind is it's kind of the same. I mean, we talked about in the sabbatical context, right? That I came to some really harsh realizations, or not harsh, but hard mm-hmm. truths. I have a choice what I do with that. I'm either going to put in the work to lean into those and draw out of those what God's trying to show and teach, or I'm going to kind of ignore that and keep doing what I'm doing, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think the case of that is true every single weekend, right? Like, again, because Heights is my home. I've been a part of every weekend through the online family. And I would say one of the things that you guys have done so well is giving practical steps. But you can have the realization and the steps and still not step into those. You've got to go do the work. So I would say if you're realizing, let's just take, I don't know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about finances, success, which one? You have a preference?
Go for it, man. Whatever you want.
I was trying to think of an example that's easy for everybody to grasp. Happiness. Let's go with happiness.
Perfect.
Okay. So if I think happiness, right, and gaining happiness is the kind of foundational principle of the story of life. Mm-hmm. So the story of my life is that I would be happy. Then what I'm going to live out is this pursuit of happiness through whatever's put in front of me, right? Like, so if that is a job, if that is marriage, if that's kids, if that's, you know, whatever, a certain family or whatever that happens to look like, getting the house, the white picket fence, whatever. So whatever, if the goal of everything is happiness and that's the story I'm in, then what I'm going to live out is a pursuit of happiness,
right?
At all cost. And so I think if you come to the realization this weekend that, wait a minute, I've been pursuing the wrong story. I've been pursuing happiness. You're not going to flip that switch overnight. I know that, right? All you can do is kind of how we ended, where you come back to communion and go, okay, I got to recenter myself in the story that God's writing.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the ultimate, like, I've got to now wrestle with, okay, if this is the wrong story and God's is the right story, well, what is God's why? What is God's ultimate goal for my life? And then I've got to live that up. That's going to take you a while. That's going to require you probably getting in a life group or being disciple, going through follow or whatever that looks like. I think there's probably some practical steps in that of you going, hey, I need to find somebody around me, a mentor, somebody to help guide and walk. Yeah. And
well, what I'm hearing is that the practical step for somebody who has realized this is to not to sit back and do nothing about it, but to start putting in the work. And yeah, those steps of what putting in the work, we can flesh those out as we go, but man, do something about it. Take the step to go, hey, how do I recenter and refocus on what actually matters and not these other things I've been pursuing?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And with that, also being kind to yourself. Like if you find that the story I've been in isn't the right story, mm-hmm, like not beating yourself up, right? Like not, and if you put it in the context of actually Galatians where, man, they were tempted to begin to eat different food, right? And begin to do, and if they've been doing that for a while, like I've been doing this to get that from God, it's going to take you a while to stop defaulting to doing this to get that, right? And so just being kind to yourself when that happens to come into confession, repentance, and step back into what God has for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, we are continuing in the book of Galatians. This week, we will dive into chapter 4, see what chapter 4 looks like. And then we have more weeks after that as we continue to walk through this letter. Man, I love the fact that Paul does not mince his words in this. And we'll see it even more strict in a couple weeks.
It's crazy.
He goes hard. So it's
pretty
awesome. Well,
he calls him foolish. The passage I had this week calls him foolish twice. I'm like...
Yeah. Well, I think about it. You know, you had it, the passage read, Pastor Noah read the passage this weekend, which is how the entire letter, because mm-hmm, the book is a letter written by Paul to the churches in Galatia, that's how they would have received it.
Yeah.
I can imagine them sitting there listening and just like eyes getting wider and wider. We're like, man, this guy is just
you've never heard it before. Yeah. And the next thing, you foolish Galatians.
Like what?
Yeah.
This you took loved a turn. Me. That was good. We do have a couple more questions that we want to hop into today. Questions that have been sitting for a little bit. And especially this first one is kind of more of a difficult topic in the church circles. And so wanted to wait to spring it on you and not any awesome of our guests on this podcast. So Ginger asks this.
I don't answer hard questions anymore.
I know that's your new, that's the new you. I don't know if I like the new you. How do we handle the topic of homosexuality? Especially if there's a family member who is gay, scripture doesn't really address the topic, or does it? That is a question that Ginger has for us today. How do we handle this?
First and foremost, I don't know who Ginger is, but first and foremost, I think just the ache in the question, like there's pain associated to, I mean, take it out of homosexuality, put it into, any other context of someone that you perceive not living their best life, mm-hmm, right? Not living as God intended. That's just painful to walk with somebody. Then you put it into a controversial, what has been a controversial topic and still is in some circles. And that just heightens, right? Because now there's an us and them factor. There's a, you're on the defensive, you're trying to prove something, you're trying to. And so I think just acknowledging for Ginger, the way the question is kind of put, there's a weight that comes with this question.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's multiple things we've got to look at here. I think the first one is the idea of someone in your family making the choice to say, hey, I'm going to live a homosexual lifestyle. I'm going to live out my same sex attraction. I think there's that journey. How do you journey with a family member who is choosing to step into a relationship that that I'm opposed to, or I struggle with, or that's a whole walk in itself. And yet, I think scripture talks an awful lot about that. I mean, scripture is very clear on loving. Our goal is to love, right? Like our job is to love.
Yeah.
It's God's job to transform another person. We can't change them. I heard something recently, and it's connected to the whole. I mean, we joke about ChatGPT. Content is like it's just not what it was, right? Like I can remember my parents as missionaries being sent cassette tapes of messages, mm-hmm. right? Like, because that was the only way you could get media outside of the church was on this cassette tape. And then we lived in an area with super high humidity and it would warp them. And so when you listen to them, they were like, they weren't even the right thing. But that was like the extent of, wow, you got content across the world. Mm-hmm. Now you can go on chat and ask them any question you want and you'll get content, right? Like, so content is, I don't think content is any more the thing that's going to move the needle and change things. I think what's going to change things and what's going to help people is relationship. And in this specific conversation, I think it's 100% relationship.
Yeah.
That the way you love God and the way you love them, the way you walk alongside them in love, the way that you don't move from your truth, right? But you're also not engaged in beating them up with the truth, right? And so then to that last part, you know, scripture does address the topic. God is very clear in the, you know, third chapter of the Bible, second chapter of the Bible, right? Like end of chapter 2, very, very clear on what marriage is, very, very clear on design. It's man and woman. And that is consistent all the way through scripture. There's verses that speak specifically when it comes to homosexuality. I think it's been elevated in Christian circles of it being opposed. And remember when we talk about people like to throw around the sin word as a weapon versus going, okay, if we step back, sin is living outside of God's design. Anytime I live outside of God's design. So when it comes to a man and a woman and it comes to same-sex attraction, there is an intention that God has. And so when I choose to now step into a same-sex relationship, I'm living outside of the intended design that God had, right? And so then you look at marriage. Marriage was always intended for a man and a woman. And so I think within that, it is clear. It may not be as clear as give me the verse that says exactly what I want it to say. But when you look at the context of scripture and you look at God's heart towards it, homosexuality is always put in a context of missing God's design, mm-hmm. right? Like it's always put in a context of God designed you to live differently. And so I do think there's plenty of scriptural backing that, or not even backing, but just conversation and theology that goes along with it, view of God through it, that's very clear. So I would say on that one that scripture does address it, and it is pretty clear.
Yeah, and scripture also not just addresses the topic of homosexuality, but also how to then love one another.
Yeah.
So it not in the same verse, but... Yeah. Yeah, we see both of those. And I would say even for this one is, especially if there's a family member who's struggling with this, like how do you treat them? How do you treat someone who's missing God's mark? Well,
yeah,
there's a lot of ways that we miss God's mark. How do you treat somebody who's a liar?
Yeah.
How do you treat someone who steals?
Yeah.
How do you treat someone who's done all these other things? We treat them the same, right? We love them. We care for them. We point them to Jesus, hoping that Jesus changes their heart to align with what his plan is. And so, you know, I would say, I would agree. Scripture definitely addresses the topic in both ways. How do you love someone? And what is, you know, what does God say about this act as well? So, yeah, how you handle that when it comes to walking with somebody, and how would you want to be walked with when you're in doing something that doesn't align with God as well?
Yeah. Well, and along with that, like back to the, you have the distinct privilege to give them a view of God, right? Like you, they may, the only view of God, because if, I don't know how it's been for you, but when I'm running away from God, I don't want to read the Bible.
Yeah.
When I'm running away from God, I don't want to have this influx. I'm not on the unedited podcast listening to real life conversation. You know what I mean? Like I'm just not interested. And so I think just acknowledging that God has placed you in a unique spot to be the mirror of God for them, the way that you treat them, the way that you love them, the way that you care for them. It doesn't mean you have to condone. It doesn't mean you have to sign off on what they're doing, but it does mean that you show them the love of God, because that may be the only thing that gets through that they hear. And so there's this really beautiful picture, unique picture that you get to be in that moment for them that often gets lost because we live in a church culture that wants to argue words, not actions.
Right. Yeah. Well, Ginger, hopefully that answers your question. Thank you for submitting that question. It's a sensitive topic. So, you know, trusting us with answering that, I appreciate that. We do have another question that we are going to get to right now. Anonymous asks this. My question is about Sarah and Abraham. I understand that I'm supposed to read her story as one of faith and patience and trusting in God's timing, but I need help because I don't see her that way. She didn't trust God. She went ahead and gave Hagar to Abraham, got upset, hurt all of them. She laughed at God and worried about how she was perceived by others. I want to love her and understand, but it is hard. Help.
Wait, are we talking about Sarah or me? I think I've had all those.
I've done all that.
Isn't this story in your passage this weekend?
It is, actually. Very interesting, but it is.
Maybe you should answer this one. I think what's interesting, I'm going back to, so I can catch the line, to read her story as one of faith, patience, and trusting in God's timing.
Yeah, I'm supposed to read her story.
So
yeah.
There's an expectation being placed that that's what I should read this story. I don't know how you feel. I don't feel like you have to have that expectation of how you read that story. I think the stories in the Bible are people that journeyed with God.
Yeah.
Right? Like they walked real life in real situations at real times. And what you see out of that is you see these very raw, real, unpolished. Like I feel like if God wanted you to just get that front part, he would have eliminated all of the bad moments, right? Yeah. Versus what we actually see in the story of Sarah. This is just hot take in the moment. But I think what you see in the story of Sarah actually speaks more of who God is. And I think this is connected to the Galatians piece where you see the promise of God still being carried out in spite of all the ups and downs, emotional turmoil, the twists, the turns, the, well, let's help God out because he needs our help, right? Like, you know, all those moments. But what you have is a God who goes, no, I'm going to do this. And you've even lost sight of the ability for this to happen, but my promise is still good.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I've grown to love about Scripture is that even the heroes of our faith, there is no such thing as a Bible painting someone as just being amazing.
Yeah.
They show the dark side of it. And I think it speaks to the validity of Scripture, because if I was writing it, for instance, Moses writing the Torah, first five books of the Bible, I would leave a lot of stuff out because it makes me look pretty bad. Like, yeah. I killed a dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some stuff in there that you...
There was this moment where I killed this guy.
Like, there, if you walk through scripture, we look at people that had, like, incredible faith. Like, Noah. Man, this guy had incredible faith. Everyone made fun of him because he was building an ark and all this stuff. And he also got drunk and, like, slept with people. Like, yeah. There's crazy stuff that each one of these guys have done. I used to really struggle with David being called a man after God's own heart. And then what he did with Bathsheba, I'm like, but how does those work together? What I've come to love is like, I had this false view of perfection almost that I needed to attain in order to be called a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Instead of realizing like, it's not what I've done, it's who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And that's how we get to it. And to see this story of Abraham and Sarah to be one that is brought into God's full plan for the salvation of all humanity through Father Abraham, who has the tribes of, you know, through him come the tribes of Israel and through it, just like, man, this is wild to see how God orchestrated even a messed up, broken person like Sarah and the way that she handled it. So I would agree with you on this. It's like, man, I don't think you're supposed to read it as a story of like great faith and patience. I think it's one of God's great patience with us, you know?
Well, and even the point, right, of, okay, God essentially like comes to her and tells her, right? And she laughs. I mean, even that, like if you're God and you're literally laughing in my face.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm going to pick the person over there. Right. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He still walks with, because he said, this is what he's going to do. And I think that's the part to, when you talk about one of faith and patience and trusting, and it is that when she looked back, imagine all of the moments that she looked back and go, man, look how great God is. And the focus was off of her at the end of life and on him. It's pretty.
Yeah. God's patience was not dependent on her patience.
No.
We think when God gives us a promise, well, then I just gotta wait and gotta be patient and all. No, even if you complain, you're not going to mess up God's plan to follow through on his promise, because God always follows through on his promise regardless of what we do.
Yeah. And even down to the massive ramifications that we still live in today of the choice with Hagar, right? Like the wars and continued wars and, you go back centuries and thousands of years of war that have come. And God's plan and God's redemption wasn't thwarted by what she did.
Yeah.
Right. Even just that, you go, okay, that puts God in a whole different category all by himself, you know? And yet I think sometimes that gets lost in the we need to see this or we need to see that.
Yeah. And even the end, you know, I want to love her and understand, but it's hard. Yeah. I don't think you have to look up to her as a great Bible character, but you can. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can relate to her.
Yeah.
I can be like, well, that's a lot of what I do.
Well, and I think that's when I look at her, I go, wow. And God still blessed her.
Yeah.
And then, it's like looking in a mirror and going, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, now I'm fired up to dive more into this story as we look at it. But, thank you for that question. Thank you for submitting that. If you or someone you know has a question that's going, hey, what do I do with this? We'd love to answer it on the podcast. You can email us those questions, unedited@heightschurch.com, and we'd love to answer those. But if you have made it this far, you've only made it this far for one reason, and one reason alone. It's to hear the man himself make the sound that he's about to make, because this is the end of the podcast club.
I don't know if I remember it.
Come on, bro. I set you up so well. There it is.
Oh,
there it is, folks.
So dumb. Do we have merch?
We do not, but we did giveaways when you were gone.
I saw that.
I know.
I was the end of the podcast club every time.
Well, you win then.
I was riding my bike and watching the...
You get the merch that David has not made yet. So, but it's promised to you at some point.
Promised to me.
Yeah. I love that. But if you are part of the End of the Podcast Club, we do love you.
You
we
know
are
what's
so
gonna
glad.
Happen? Somebody like Sabrina is just going to make her own merch at this point.
It's going to happen. I know.
So
get on it. That's what we're trying to tell you over there. Give us a thumbs up. That's good. Okay. Man, into the podcast clubbers though, you are what make this show happen, making us, allowing us to continue to do this because you guys listen to the content. And so thank you so much for that. We'd love for you to rate, review, let us know what you think about the show. Send it to a friend if it has helped you. Maybe it'll help them too. And thank you so much for listening week in and week out. Final thought for you today as we close this up is this. We all have a story that we're living out, but who is writing your story and what is driving your story? Because sometimes we get it mixed up with what we are living for instead of living for the right thing. Shift back to the thing that matters, and the thing that matters is Jesus. We love you guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
So good.